This morning, Ben Joseph will be speaking to us from Isaiah 55. I'll be reading that just shortly. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It does not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and it shall be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come upon the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come upon the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Everybody being prayerful, Liz, huh? She's, you know, a couple of weeks ago they took her off that medication that takes away the desire for drugs. So.
Good morning. I'm rearranging your house. Good to be with you. It's been a while. We apologize. Ask for forgiveness for not coming back quicker. It's been more than a year. And from Chandler, Arizona to Globe is not that long of a drive. And my apology. It's been an interesting few months in our life. In June, when both of us were out of town, the refrigerator decided to leak. And to make this long story short, we ended up having to do the whole downstairs. We stayed in the hotel for five and a half months, and a lot of dust, a lot of things, but God has been faithful. And the video you just saw a few minutes ago, in case you wonder why it's the Christmas song, it's middle of February. That video was shown during our Christmas outreach dinner. And that was a snapshot from all the events we have done this past semester, which starts in the latter part of August. Our ministry has been pretty simple. You build a relationship with non-believers through fun events. Nobody is really looking for Jesus on the university campus. You had to bring Christ into them through loving on them and being there as a friend. So our monthly activities are geared towards building relationship. Occasionally, on the Grand Canyon trip, we had 60-some students. Occasionally, God provided an opportunity for spiritual conversation, but that is not the goal of that. That's not the purpose of that event. But on Friday night, these students know we have dinner, as you've seen it. We have a lot of food, because college students and food always had a chemistry. Where there is free food, they'll come. So we provide a good meal for them. And one of the requirements is that if you eat, you stay. And last Friday, we had 130. They were all non-believers. Not even one believer in that crowd. They are from Hindu background. Majority are from India, my country. We have some Muslims. We have some Buddhists. We have a lot of atheists. We have a lot of agnostic. They from all walks of life. But they come because we have a relationship with them. There's no substitute for relationship with non-believers. If you have any desire to make an impact for the gospel, relationship is a must. We would just want to say thank you, Maranatha, for your partnership with us. You've been part of our ministry, I would say 37 years. And we have 17 churches and probably 35 to 40 individuals been part of this journey. And Eliyama and I am grateful to you for the churches, for praying for us, for supporting us, and in some cases, come alongside, being involved in our ministry. And we want to praise God for this past week. God has provided us to be on the campus of Arizona State University for 40 years. And we have seen God doing some amazing things, transformation of life. And before we go into the word, I just want to show you this. This is a book God allowed me to write. I had no intention of writing a book ever, but God had a particular agenda. Year and a half ago, I had bad case of COVID for the second time. And then last summer when we were in the hotel, I was blessed with the third round of COVID. But the second time, it was pretty bad. I was on a cortisone treatment because my hearing on the left ear stopped. And the doctor said, the only way you could get it back is cortisone treatment. And we both struggled to sleep, but the cortisone increased, staying awake all night. And out of boredom, I went down to the garage, and I knew there's a box full of messages on what the scripture had to say about pain and suffering. That's my second most favorite topic. First one is to share God's word, encouraging believers to be involved in mission. So I brought it upstairs and I looked through it and I was quite impressed with the material. And some of them I have forgotten. Some of them I preached 40 years ago. So I sat down and retyped. And in two nights, the manuscript was done. And the title of the book is Dancing Through Sorrow, Longing for Contentment. Is Prayer the Answer? This is not, this is an interesting book, and I have read this time and time again in the last 6 months in our own personal journey. If you are here, you are going through challenging times, or do you know someone? Larry should take one of these and give it to his friend, because the last chapter is a gospel presentation, meeting the God of contentment. So take one, quite a few in the back, no charge. This is our gift to you. Okay, good deal. Pray for us. Pray for us. All these kids come. I'm the most blessed senior citizen on the face of the earth. I get to hang out with college kids. I get to interact with them on a first name basis. I know stories about them their parents or grandparents have never heard of. And it is such an honor. These kids are the future of the nations. These are the elite. God has sent the world to our university campuses. The opportunity for open interaction is often greater on a university campus than in their homeland. And just pray, Hinduism. My dad was converted from Hinduism into Christian faith. Hinduism is complicated. It is much more than a belief system. It's a way of life. There's incredible consequence for a Hindu to become a Christian for within their own family. We have stories. We have students who accepted Christ 5-6 years ago, still battling breakup within the family because of their faith. When you and I talk about, well, accepting Christ, becoming a Christian, it is so easy. But there are people group. These Indian students have to count the cost, literally count the cost of following Christ. But they come. Standing room only. We had no chairs. Packed house. For the last 2 years, ever since COVID, there's a hunger in people's lives to be near, to be together. During COVID, our ministry went down to maybe 3 students. But now our activities, and 250 showed up for Christmas dinner, all non-believers. They all heard a message about the meaning of Christmas because I spoke. I wanted to make sure they understand. So pray for us. And this particular passage of scripture, Isaiah 55, there's no way anybody could preach the whole chapter in a few minutes. I just want to highlight 3 principles. Because it is easy when we pray for non-believers, when we invest our life fully into non-believers and see no result. Many Christians give up on evangelism because they see no fruit or result from their labor. And my hope for this message is this. Don't let lack of results discourage you from focusing on missions. Remember that it is not our efforts that save people. However, it is our responsibility to witness regardless of the results. We are not responsible for results, we are only responsible for obedience. We cannot convert anyone. That is the role of the Holy Spirit of God as His word is shared. Only God can change a person's soul. When one non-believer comes to faith in Christ, Jesus calls it is the greatest miracle. When Jesus sent out the 72, Jesus said, boys and girls, today is going to be a special day. I'm going to give you a special anointing of the Spirit. You're going to do incredible things. You could heal the sick, cast out the demons, command the mountains to move. But there's an expiration date just for this day. So the 72 came back rejoicing what has happened. And Jesus looked at him and what did he say? Do not rejoice because the demons were cast, the mountains were moved, but rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. Being born again into the family of God is the greatest miracle ever. Hudson Taylor, William Carey are examples of people who slave away in sharing the gospel without seeing much fruit. Here are three reasons why persisting in missions. They're simple. Number one, God's invitation to seek Him continue. God's invitation to seek Him continue. This particular chapter in the book of Isaiah, Israel as a nation was chosen to reveal God's plan of salvation, but they have turned their back on Him. God has personally patiently pursued Israel to restore her back into a relationship with Him through miraculous wonders, loving judgment, and enduring grace. The invitation to repent and come back to Him continue. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And the way that this particular phrase come, it's a loving, tender invitation. Come here. Come is an emotional invitation to those who are spiritually thirsty and hungry. The opportunity to be born again, the opportunity to become a child of the living God does not expire until a person takes his or her last breath or Jesus returns. And the words continue, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. And it communicates the message that the Old Testament law, the Judaism as a religion, was made up of rules and regulations. And that is why Jesus invited people. Most likely they were at the wailing wall, lamenting, weeping for their own sin. Jesus said, come, all you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest for your soul. Every religion, these 100 plus students who were there Friday night for the Bible study, they all come from the yoke of religious obligation. Making God happy with you is a lot of work. But the scripture says, come, those who are thirsty, those who have no money, come. It is free. It speaks of the gift of salvation. It cost God the Father his very Son to be crucified on the cross of Calvary, brought him back to life. But salvation is a gift. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, so that there's no bragging right. Verse 3, give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Why do we engage in missions? Why do we pray for people's salvation? Why do we look for opportunity to share God's word? Not because there are spiritually lost people, that's the main reason, but that's not the primary reason. It's not because it is a command to be obeyed, the Great Commission. But the central and foundational reason for missions is the heartbeat of God. God of the scripture is a missionary God. He's a God of pursuit. And often when we think about global missions, we think about the Great Commission. Jesus, after he came back to life, he met up with his disciples. And he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. But missions didn't originate when Jesus gave the Great Commission. The principle of missions, the essence of global missions begin in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. The last verse in Genesis chapter 2 says, man and his wife were naked, but they felt no shame. And few verses later, when they disobeyed God, when God said, you are free to enjoy, eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die. As soon as they ate the tree fruit, they realized they were naked. And they covered their shame with fig leaves. But there's an interesting statement, it's often missed. The scripture says, but God clothed them with animal skin. It is not that God looked at Adam and Eve and said, you know what, guys, fig leaves are not in style today. But God knew that guilt and shame cannot be taken care by human effort, but only by the sacrifice of his own son. An animal was killed to cover the shame of Adam and Eve temporarily. And then we come to the New Testament when Jesus entered his public ministry. Behold, the Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world. If anything that distinguishes God of the Bible from other gods is God of the Bible is a God of pursuit. from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of the scripture, Revelation 20, it's all about God's rescue 911 operation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter 3, 9, when the early church was abused by the non-believers, the pagans, "Where is your God who promised to come back? And it's only been 60-some years." And Peter's response was this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God actively pursues people, providing opportunity for repentance. Acts chapter 17 is one of my favorite chapters, where Paul was explaining the unknown God. There's a statement he says, and I quote, "God determined the time set for people and the exact places where people should live." Wow. God is never too busy. God specializes in every single person. God determines the time set for people and the exact places where we should live. That to me is the sovereignty of God. God directs the path. Then it says, "But God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him." Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon." The scripture says today is the day of salvation, and God's Spirit will not strive with men forever. The implication here is this: God may be found, but there will come a time when he will choose not to be found. At death, our ability to decide or choose is over. We have family members from the Orthodox Church. They pray for the dead, but there's no biblical foundation for praying for the dead. The scripture says it is appointed for every person to die once, and then there is judgment. The unpardonable sin the scripture talks about has to do with not accepting salvation. The only thing God will not forgive is a heart that rejects the truth. Over the years, my mind goes to so many stories. But this one story, there was a couple from Bulgaria, Elka and Alexander, with a little baby. And I helped them, picked them up from the airport, helped them find a place, provided them with furniture, became good friends, and there were opportunity. And I remember on a Christmas day, I took a gift to their apartment. And I had them both, Elka and Alexander. And I said, "Elka and Alexander, we've been talking about this Jesus for a long time. Would you be willing to accept him and make Jesus your God of worship today? And I could see that apartment. I could see when Alexander is just about to say yes, Elka stepped in and said, not now. And never again. We continue to be friends, but never again I have seen the Spirit of God so at work in their life as he has been. That's why God's invitation, come while there is opportunity. So the number one reason to continue in missions, don't lose heart. Praying for a spouse, praying for a family member, praying for a neighbor. Don't lose heart because the invitation is still open. Second reason is this: God's way of transformation are beyond human comprehension. God's way of transformation are beyond human comprehension. Verses 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. God's infinite thoughts are far greater than our limited ability to comprehend them. God sees things through a wide-angle lens. God operates from the future to the present. God's ways are different. Even when it comes to a non-believer in our life, God's thoughts and his ways don't always make sense to us. And that is where total trust in him comes to play. Who are we to give up on a non-believer? Over the last 40 years, I have seen people, self-declared atheists, had nothing to do with God. They come to the Bible study, they show no interest. But you mess around with God's word, the word will change you. God's ways are different than our ways. God is writing a story of every human life, and we are simply stewards to participate in that process. Non-believers in our life, they are not projects for Jesus. Jesus don't need projects. Every non-believer, even the obnoxious one, are created in the image of God. And don't ever lose respect and a heart of compassion. Remember the fact that salvation is an event, while evangelism is a journey. Tilling out the soil. People who into farming says there are four components to farming: tilling out the soil, planting the seed, watering, and harvesting. But I had farmers tell me the hardest is tilling out the soil. Because if the soil is not ready, any amount of seed is not going to be productive. And that is clear from the parable of the sower. It was the same farmer, it was the same bag of seed, but four different soil determined four different results. We do not understand how God works in the life of non-believers. We do know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Apart from hearing from God's word, no one can be born again. But in his dialogue with Nicodemus, Jesus said it this way about being born again. He said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's come from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." When God intervenes in the hearts of people, and you and I, the body of Christ, the church, is given that mandate to share the good news. We don't exist for us. We exist for the world. When church become so inward, become the family of God, where nobody else can come in, it becomes a religious park and recreation. No use. The mark of a church is not by how many people are here, but what God is doing through you. You have a young pastor. I heard him teach. I was in the lobby. Excellent. It is not his responsibility to do everything. Every one of you, God has saved you, and he has put the Spirit of God in you. God wants to use you. The invitation continues. God's ways are different. When God shows up, he does a lot of cool things which our human mind cannot comprehend. And what we need more than anything else is to be surprised by God. And when you see lives radically changed, God becomes real. Spiritual apathy is head knowledge without any spiritual exercise. In 1952, God called five young men to missions among the Aqua Indians in Ecuador. Many of you know the story. Jim Elliott, Ed McCauley, Roger Udarian, Pete Fleming, and Nate Sain. All five men were killed by the Aqua Indians. Years later, some of their wives took their children and went back to Ecuador, and they were baptized by the same man who killed their father. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The last reason is this. God's word shared is never a waste. God's word shared is never a waste. Almost every Monday during staff meeting, I had to remind my coworkers and my volunteer this truth. Verse 10 and 11. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Precipitation in the form of rain and snow comes upon the earth for a purpose. So it is with God's word. It never a waste. Every word shared, every kindness shown to non-believers has an eternal dividend. We may not see it in our own lifetime. That is why missions takes a lot of faith. If I was focused on seeing result, I would have been done a long time ago. God's word will not return void. Many, many years ago, God brought a Chinese retired professor to Arizona State University. She didn't come there to be a student. She came to be a grandmother to watch the babies while both her son and daughter-in-law were working on a PhD. And when NU first came to our group, she spoke no word of English. And we had a conversational English class for an international woman. But 14 months later, she said to me, you should come to my apartment. She was 65 some years old then. I'm sure she's gone to be with Jesus. She said, you should come to my house. So my coworker, Paula, and I went to her apartment. And it took us 4 hours to share the gospel. Because Anu was one of those people, when you say something, she wants to make sure that she understood before she agrees or disagrees with you. And at the fourth hour, I said, Anu, would you like to make Jesus your God of worship today? And she said, I got one more question. She said, when I was 6 years old, that was 54 plus years later. When I was 6 years old, somebody taught me a song, Jesus Loves Me. Are you talking about the same Jesus? The seed that was planted in the heart of a six-year-old, never heard the name Jesus since then. The Holy Spirit of God brought it up to the surface. And Anu surrendered her life to Christ. Go figure that out. Those who work with kids, I couldn't do it. Those who slave away with Awana program. If we operate looking at the present, we get discouraged. But God is up to something big. And God uses His word and His people. God's invitation for salvation continues. God's way of transformation are beyond human comprehension. God's word shared is never a waste. Thank you so much for loving us and being part of our journey. And Eliam and I pray that you will continue to be a beacon of hope. Maranatha Baptist Church, God will use her to encourage, but more than that, to bring many to the saving knowledge of Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are the God of missions. You sent your Son, your only Son, the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord Jesus, Jesus who knew no sin. You became sin for us so that in you we might receive our righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for drawing us into a relationship with you. And we just ask that you use us who are weary and some are hurting physically and emotionally and spiritually. We just ask, Spirit of God, you will be our sufficiency. Pray for Pastor Brian and his family, and you use them in a great way here in Globe. We'll be careful to give you, Lord, the praise and glory and honor. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.